All right, we're in Psalm 18. We'll also be in Psalm 24, so keep your kind of your keep the book of Psalms open. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, in the last several weeks, we've been looking at the life of David as it's told to us through the book of Psalms. Now, our study in all actuality isn't so much David, but rather David's God. So as we look at David's history, even tonight, we are in fact seeing something of how God deals and relates to his church. And that's ultimately what the Bible is all about. It is a revelation of God himself. So now David poses a question about God, or what's God like essentially, in Psalm 24. And the question is, who is the King of Glory? What is this? Well, who is the ultimate, paramount, superlative king of Israel? Saul, David, Solomon? No, David would say, these are but men. The Lord, Yahweh, is the King of Glory. The Lord is the King of Glory. David asked this question twice at the end of Psalm 24. Who is the King of Glory? What is this king like? Well, David answers his own question as he raises it in Psalm 24. The answer is emphatically given. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in war, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. I have a book in my library that I'm eager to read. It's about Napoleon as a gardener. Now, what do y'all think about that? Is Napoleon known as a gardener? No, you just thought it was crazy when I mentioned it. No, Napoleon was an emperor, a warrior emperor. All down through history, there have been leaders of nations who were warriors. Our king is a king of armies. And if we could but see it, there are more with us than with God's enemies. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Isn't it good that God reveals himself to us that way? The answer is clear as God reveals himself to us in the Psalms of David. The God we worship is a God of battles, mighty in war, the Lord of armies. David described bringing in Psalm 24, the bringing of the ark of God's presence into Jerusalem. We saw this last week. Lift up, O ye gates, your heads. Lift up, ye age-abiding doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The God of armies. So this is our subject today. In the light of these truths, let's meditate just for a few minutes on the fact that God reveals himself to us as the God of battles. Psalm 18, our text tonight, speaks to this subject. Now, Psalm 18 begins with a psalm within a psalm. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 18 are really a psalm in and of itself. It's a self-contained little unit. And it kind of sets the stage for the rest of the psalm. I've been thinking about it. I'm not for sure. I've never been good at memorizing. Billy's good at it. She didn't even try. Do you try? You do? Oh, shoot, that makes me feel bad. I guess I better try. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 18 would be good. It's a fine description of our God. In these two verses, we get David's very personal look at the God he worships. My God, he says in verse 2. The subject is David's God. Now, the battles we face in life are such that we need strength for us to endure. David says, "The Lord is my strength." This last week, we were installing statues down across the street from the Fredonia. If you go by there now, it's all covered up, so don't go. After next week, after Friday, you can go and see them. But we were putting those statues up. And normally, they have a big crane, picks them up. They weigh about 1,000 pounds apiece, of bronze. And so we had some, we were doing it cheap. And we got a cheap little old forklift and kind of moved them close. But after that, it was muscle. Strength. And so we all gathered around. We picked up these three or four guys on one side of that guy, that big bronze fella, and a couple more on this side. And I'm down here at his one end, and everybody said, 1, 2, 3, go. And everybody lifted except my end. It was terrible. I never felt older in all my life. And I said, wait, wait. And they all said, put it back down. No strength. God is our strength. The Lord was David's strength. The battles in life will cause us to resort to him as a hiding place when we are in danger of being overcome. God is our mountain crag, as one version has it, our rock. It's here we hide in him in times of trouble. The idea is repeated twice in the English Standard Version. The Lord, I'll read it here. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge. David repeats the word twice. He's a rock. Now, last year we haven't taken a vacation. This year I guess I don't get one. But we went out to Arizona. I'd never been to Arizona. It's hot there. And they have nothing. They have a forest of cactus. We get trees in East Texas. They have cactus, a forest of cactus. And so we're going up this mountain, all the little kids. I could send you the picture. I won't. And we're hiking this trail, and the little children are chipper, and they're going at it. But we finally came to this overhang, or this rock kind of over. Look, kind of leaned out over the trail, and it was hot, and we all got under that rock, the shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. The Lord is my rock. We will have times of trouble when our only recourse is to hide in him until the trouble passes by. That's the truth. If you think you're going to get up and fight your way out of every little problem, you're going to meet with something that'll fix your wagon. It'll be a sun so fierce all you'll need is just some shade. The battles we face in life will be at times necessitate the need for a high place from which we will fight our battles. He is my mighty fortress, our stronghold, it says. Where do you always want the high ground? The low ground's a bad place to fight from. He is our mighty fortress. We just sang it a while ago. The battles we face in life will sometimes be so severe, we'll just need to be rescued. As we said several weeks ago, we will need God's auxiliary troops who appear over the horizon just at the right moment. The cavalry, you might say. Sometimes we just need to be rescued. David says, he's my rescue. The battles we face in life will at times be so intense that we will need him to be the shield we carry into battle, with which we will defend off the deadly blows of the foe. Did the enemy shoot at you? He may even use people to shoot at you. He may get some sap, one of his dupes to say something mean to you that breaks your heart. He may even get a Christian to say something mean to you that breaks your heart. That we get shot at. He's our shield. Some of the blows that the enemy would deliver, he intends to destroy us. We need a shield. The battles in life we face at times will be so precarious that God will need to intervene into our affairs with His strength. When the Scripture says that He is the horn of our salvation, I like this. The reference is to the great animals of the world, like the stag and other horned animals. The horn is the animal's strength and expression of both defense and offense. You know, they say the African water buffalo is the most fierce animal on earth. And when he comes at you with that head that's almost like a rock in and of itself and those horns, you'd better get out of the way and have a big old gun. God is the horn of our salvation. He has the power and the will and the might for both defensive action and offensive action to come to our aid. I don't know if it's kind of a terrible illustration, but God can be our African water buffalo. I mean, He could come and our enemies tremble. He is the horn of our salvation. Last of all, in the battles we face, can be so dreadful that all we can do is hide. He's our stronghold. What is a stronghold? Well, they can't get us here. That's what a stronghold is. Sometimes the best thing to do is just say, they can't get us here. And who is here? God. He is our stronghold. So as you can see, David is multiplying words. He's kind of repeating himself using different expressions. He's multiplying words about his God, who is a God of war, a God of battles. In intense situations, He is all we need. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. We don't need the cattle on 1,000 hills. We just need Him. In David's poetic way, he describes God as a great warrior. Ultimately, in times of trouble, He is our hope. Now, as Christians, each one of us will undergo trials and tribulation. And in those trials and tribulations, God can be described as David describes Him. O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. This is who God is. My rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. David's lifelong experience of God in very real battles brought forth a strong emotion in him. What kind of emotion do you think that God's help in battles brought forth out of David? Love. I love thee, O Lord. You've come through for me. You've helped me. Oh, to lay down our life, put our head on the pillow, a pillow from which we will not get up. And if we could just say, Lord, you've helped me. Thank you. Isn't that all we want? Lord, I love thee. If our love is to grow for him, it is most likely to grow not in the hours of ease, but in the days of toil. It is in the hours of ease that we forget him, and we say to ourselves, we don't even think about him. David was a lifelong warrior. And I'm pretty sure this will be our experience as well if we are to follow our Lord. They say, well, follow the Lord and stay out of trouble. No. It's just not that. That isn't how it works. Follow the Lord and you'll be in trouble. The enemy will attack you. He hates you following Jesus. David learned as he fought for God that he loved God. Out of personal experience, he learned the love of God. Isn't that amazing? Now notice in verse 3, these things were taught to David via prayer. We sang it a while. Didn't we sing it? Help divine implore. Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from mine enemies. Does your strength fail? Are you in danger of being overcome? Do you need a deliverer? God can be all of these things and more. Someone has said this psalm not only proclaims God's care and victory for his people, but it goes into detail about the battle, the fight. We do not have the luxury of sitting at home while the Lord fights our enemies. He would have us engaged in the battle with him. Our enemies are his enemies and vice versa. Reading this psalm, we realize the fight is tiring and it's bloody and dangerous. It is a war, but not one where the outcome is unsure. We fight not flesh and blood, and Jesus Christ must reign until every enemy is put under his feet. You read David's life, and you almost see a guy. It's like he looks around Palestine for some group of people that hate God. He would say, at times say, I hate thy enemies with the utmost hatred. God was ready to come to David's aid because David, if he had anything clear in his heart, it was for the advancing of God's kingdom. God had told Abraham that he would give him the land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And at the end of David's life, he had conquered that land. All that land. You read it. Steve talked about that this morning, about what God promised Abraham. David laid hold of it. He was a God. He had a God of battles on his side. The Kenizzite, the Kenite, all kind of ites. He just looked around for a group of people that were God's enemies, and they were in bad trouble. It's as if Palestine, all of the inhabitants that were left in Palestine had filled up their glass full of wickedness, and God had sent David to deal with it. David's life was at its fullest, in all actuality, at its safest when he had his sword lifted up against God's enemies. You want to be in a safe place? Fight God's battles. What are God's enemies today? Well, they're your enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. These are things that bring misery to you and to your neighbors, to nations. Christians are in a knockdown, drag-out fight with the powers of the evil one. Cultural degradation, evil philosophies, tyrannical nations are the manifestation of spiritual forces. As we wake up each day, we can call out to the God of Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2. It is no vain thing to call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and you will glorify me." I said this several weeks ago. David fought to take hold of the covenant of God, which God had made with Abraham. David wanted to see with his own eyes the full expression of the sentence from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates. We as Christians today should be praying for God's kingdom and the advancement and its advancement in our hearts. We should be praying to experience New Testament Christianity to its fullest. When David entered the public life, even before he became king, the land promised to Abraham was not in Israel's possession. Imagine it. When David took his last breath, all of the land of Israel was in his control, God's control. It was an amazing feat. It took years. The strife is fierce and the warfare long. David fought it out. He was a man of battle. And his God was a God of armies. David called, God answered. And God, and David loved God because of it. Now, God would have you know more of the blessings of the new covenant for which his son died. And I think I can say absolutely there's more ground to be taken in your life and in mine for God. I think I could say this absolutely. There's unconquered kingdoms. There's Hittites and all kinds of ites in our lives. And God can take them, the ground. There's more ground to be taken in the church. The kingdom of God should advance as long as the sun endures. Psalm 72, verse 17, may His name increase as long as the sun shines. I love that. Did the sun wake up this morning? Come up this morning? Would wake up. Did the sun come up? David says, may your kingdom advance as long as the sun shines. May every day new ground be taken for the king. He will reign until all of his enemies are put under his feet. Your enemies and mine. Personal victories. Our fleshly desires, worldly trends, satanic forces, things we cannot imagine. This is our fight. And God can give us victory in the midst. Faith is the victory. When you see a trend in the world, what's the current trend? It's everywhere. Every nation is talking the talk. Environmental, what's it? I can't even think of the name of it. World, I can't even think of the name. Maybe the Lord doesn't want me to say it. But that it's everywhere. You look at that, and I know Christians that are taking it up as if it's the cause of God today. It's the saddest thing. We should ignore the fashions of men. Ultimately, God will act as the people of God in their distress cry to Him. Psalm 18, verses 6 and 7. I cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry for help came unto Him, into His ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling. They were shaken because He was angry. There comes times in world history that God Himself is angry. Woe to those who are His foes on that day, but joy to those who love Him. We live in chaotic times. We see it today. But if you think you see it, God sees it more clearly than you. If we are troubled, I'm convinced He's distressed on our behalf. As you look around today and you see that you walk along feebly, know this, God sees and cares. He looks on His church today and loves her, even in a feeble condition. He cares more than we do. He will act. And oh, the earth will shake, the foundations of the mountains will tremble. Because He was angry. Now as we close, note the word my in our text. Chapter 8 and Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. The word my occurs 9 times in these two verses. What do you think about that? Well, this was personal with David. God was all these things to David. David had taken possession, in some manner of speaking, of the salvation of God. Is there ground in your life that does not, as yet, belong to God? And I'm adverse in citing particulars. A lot of preachers would give a list right here. I'm not gonna. If you don't see any place, ground in your life that needs taken for God, ask Him. He'll show you. Ask Him where the Jebusites are in your life. Say, Lord, show me a Jebusite in my life. Then determine in your heart to know the victory in that very area. Even as you pray for personal victory for you and yours, God will soon turn your prayers towards His kingdom and its advancement. As you join the battle, you will learn to love Him for the help He has shown you, for the victory He's given. Just get in the fight. I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, mine, mine, mine. David knew these things. And before you know it, you will soon find yourself a part of God's great army of love and victory. You may even find yourself one of David's mighty men, which will be next week. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your help. When our quiver is empty, You'll fill it with arrows. But when our strength fails, You'll be our strength. You'll be our shield, our horn of salvation, our rock in a shadow and in a dry and thirsty land. Lord, we pray You teach us these things. And we know this was a place of joy for David. And it was a place of great safety for him. Father, the word of the New Testament says, it says, endure hardship as a true soldier rings in our ears. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.